Welcome back into Midday. I'm Gabe Ortiz filling in for Tom Hall today. We're months past Halloween, but this weekend there is a reason to celebrate the macabre and all things grim and ghastly. It's the birthday of Edgar Allan Poe coming up in just a few days, the gothic horror writer who started his career while living in Baltimore. Poe is credited with being one of the first professional writers in America and published widely known short stories and poems, including The Raven, The Fall of the House of Usher, and so much more. My next guest knows all about this famed writer, Dr. Amy Branham Armiento, a professor of English at Frostburg State University. She's also a board member for Poe Baltimore. That group maintains the Poe House and Museum. Her most recent book, published in 2024, is More Than Love, The Enduring Fascination with Edgar Allan Poe. Welcome to Midday, Amy. How are we doing today?
Hey, thanks for the invitation. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. This is a topic that we've known we were going to do since like Monday, and I'm so happy that it's here. I'm a big Edgar Allan Poe guy. I think that his influence on the city of Baltimore is so fascinating, and I don't want to waste any more time nerding out. I want to get into it here. There are a lot of people who know about Edgar Allan Poe, of course, some of his famous works like The Raven and The Telltale Heart. But I want to start with laying a foundation of who Edgar Allan Poe was as a person. I don't think you come up with a lot of the stories that he came up with if you don't have some troubles in your personal life, among many other things. So can you give us some insight into who Edgar Allan Poe was as a man, as a person?
Sure. I think a lot of people, when you hear his name, you think about a tortured genius. He did cultivate that look, if you will. And certainly he experienced many tragedies in his life. The death of his mother before he turned age 3, the death of his foster mother, the death of his wife, Virginia, the death of his brother, Henry. much death in his life. And so I don't think it's a surprise that we see such dark stories and even dark poems. And then, of course, the time frame itself, many people experienced hardship, deaths from disease, from natural disasters. And in that way, I suppose, relevant to us today as well. But also, I think we don't think about how much he was a hard worker. He had to be to turn out as much work as he did. He was a prolific writer. We know him for his creative output, but during his lifetime, he was a newspaper man, magazine man, an editor. He wrote criticism. He wrote, which would have included reviews, in addition to his short stories and poems. He was known to be a doting husband for his wife, Virginia, although many people know there's some problematic context to their relationship with their age difference. And a few people today cringe at the first cousin relationship, but they were known to have a very good marriage. So it was particularly devastating when she died in 1847, and he did not survive her by many years. He died in 1849.
And all of these life experiences, as I think you alluded to, poured into his work. It seemed to always be an outlet for this rather tortured soul who went through a lot of hardship in his life and lost a lot of people that he loved to put that pain into his writing. Now, whether or not that was cathartic for him or he just felt called to do it, that's probably something we'll never truly know. But that insight into him as a person, I feel, is so informative to the kinds of works that persist through today and that have established his legacy, not just here in Baltimore, but all throughout the world. I'm curious for you, Amy Branham Armiento, you also go with the three name reference like Edgar Allan Poe. I'm curious, was that something that you took directly from Poe? Because obviously you are very intrigued by his story and have done a lot of professional work around Poe. Is that something you did before or after you really did your deep dives into the life and work of Edgar Allan Poe?
It's supposed a coincidence, right? Yeah, I mean, during his lifetime, he didn't necessarily go by that full name. It's how he's come down to us when we study him. He had a contentious relationship with his foster father, John Allen. So his middle name is a name he received at baptism. Often he signed his works Edgar A. Poe.
Interesting. Wow. And yeah. Sticking with your connection to him, what was it about Edgar Allan Poe that drew you to him? I mean, there is no shortage of writers throughout history for people, especially professionals such as yourself, to really pour their work into. What was it about Poe that drew you to him?
So I came to Poe through other writers, more contemporary writers such as Stephen King, Anne Rice, eventually Shirley Jackson, and even Thomas Hardy, to go back to the 19th century. These were all people I enjoyed reading, and they would, of course, mention Edgar Allan Poe either overtly or in some other indirect allusion. And when I got to high school, I really fell in love with the poet Lord Byron. And Edgar Allan Poe is highly influenced by Lord Byron. And basically, I was just having a love for all things Gothic. And the more I read Poe, the more I fell in love with him. And The Telltale Heart is by far my favorite story. And it is the one that hooked me. And it helped me make the decision to specialize in Edgar Allan Poe when I went to graduate school.
And I know that you brought a copy of The Telltale Heart along with you. If you're willing, could you read a brief section of it for us?
Oh, absolutely. It's funny, bringing a copy, like I always have it on me. I kind of do, I suppose.
We can present that image to the audience, don't worry.
Yes, I always have my Poe ready. So yes, I'll read the opening paragraphs of The Telltale Heart for us. True, nervous, very, very dreadfully nervous, I had been and am. But why will you say that I am mad? The disease had sharpened my senses, not destroyed, not dulled them. Above all was the sense of hearing acute. I heard all things in the heaven and in the earth. I heard many things in hell. How then am I mad? Hearken and observe how healthily, how calmly I can tell you the whole story. It is impossible to say how first the idea entered my brain, but once conceived, it haunted me day and night. Object there was none, passion there was none. I loved the old man. He had never wronged me. He had never given me insult. For his gold, I had no desire. I think it was his eye. Yes, it was this. One of his eyes resembled that of a vulture, a pale blue eye with a film over it. Whenever it fell upon me, my blood ran cold, and so by degrees, very gradually, I made up my mind to take the life of the old man, and thus rid myself of the eye forever.
And what is it about The Telltale Heart that makes it your favorite story? I mean, as somebody who's an English professor, I'm sure that you have had to, through school and through your profession, read a whole lot of different poems from a whole lot of different poets. What is it about this specific story that has stood the test of time for you?
I think for me, and I think for many readers, it's this horrific idea that the very danger in your life is not something outside of the walls of your safe space, your home, but actually lurking within, that at any moment, someone that you trust, that you love, who shares a space with you, could turn on you irrationally, really. The narrator in the story thinks this is all very rational, but obviously it is not. Also, just the way that Poe has some dark humor. When you read his works, there are lots of little dark jokes. The Cask of Amontillado is hilarious, really, if you're into dark humor. But all of his stories have that in there. And it's that balance of this so scary existence that we are part of with a little bit of lightheartedness mixed in, little tongue in cheek, that I really enjoy. And he's just really good at crafting his short story. A lot happens in such a small space.
So we got about 90 seconds here before we got to get out. Okay. My name is Gabe Ortiz, speaking with Dr. Amy Branham Armiento, a professor of English at Frostburg State University. She's also a board member for Poe Baltimore, the group that maintains the Poe House and Museum. I know this is a big weekend for you guys. Can you talk about some of the events you have coming up this weekend?
Well, Edgar Allan Poe is a treasured writer for the United States, and Baltimore is lucky to have him, I feel, and you do him great honor. I'm always impressed with the turnout at the events. We have the annual celebration of his birth. The most of the events will be Saturday, tomorrow. You can go to poinbaltimore.org/events for more information. There are a few options. The main event is at 6:30 tomorrow night at Westminster Hall and Burying Ground on Fayette. They're doing a Poe Toaster murder mystery, and MC Lars will be there debuting some songs from his Edgar Allan Poe LP. And it's just a lot of fun. People dress up, they get into the spirit. And I encourage anyone who's in the area and you have a few extra dollars to spend to come on out and enjoy celebrating Edgar Allan Poe.
And that is Dr. Amy Branham Armiento, again, a member of Poe Baltimore. Going to have some great events this weekend. The music you're hearing is the music she referenced from MC Lars from his Edgar Allan Poe LP. Be sure to go check out all the great events that they have. For Sam Berman Dawes in the studio, my name's Gabe Ortiz. This has been Midday. Go enjoy Edgar Allan Poe weekend out in Baltimore this weekend, folks. Thank you so much to everybody. Coming up next, we got Fresh Air.
This is 88.1 WYPR, Baltimore's NPR News Station.